Take your Bibles, if you would, back to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 8 tonight, but I want to mention a couple things before we read that verse together. You remember we started last week, and it starts out that it says, after the death of Moses. So Moses, the servant of God, is dead. Joshua has been appointed to replace him as the leader of the Israelites. And I would remind you tonight that what was ahead of Joshua was a challenging task. It would be a challenging task just to lead 2.5 million people. I mean, that would be a challenging task, let alone the fact that God wanted Joshua to lead the people into the land of Canaan, defeat and battle the people that were living there, and then divide the land among the people. I mean, just a challenging task that faced Joshua. And you remember, he was replacing Moses. Now, I want to remind you about some things about Moses, just so you can put him in comparison to Moses' preparation for the task that he had to do, and Joshua, and compare that to Joshua's preparation for the task that he had to do. You remember that Moses, for the first 40 years of his life, was trained to be an Egyptian prince, trained to be an Egyptian leader. And so, I mean, he had training in all sorts of areas, but he had training to be a leader, because that's what he was destined to be if he stayed in Egypt. And so the first 40 years, he was in the Egyptian universities and the Egyptian schools learning how to be a leader. The next 40 years of his life, he was a shepherd. He was taking care of his father-in-law's flocks. And you know, if you know anything about sheep, you know they're a dumb animal. They need to be led. They need to be protected. So he spent the second 40 years of his life applying what he learned the first 40 years. And he was able to do it in a laboratory because he wasn't leading people, he was leading animals. And he was able to put into play all the leadership skills that he had learned in taking care of those of his father-in-law's flocks. And then for the last 40 years of his life, he led God's people. He was applying what he learned the first 40 years of his life in Egypt, what he had honed and polished and tried out the second 40 years of his life as he was leading, you know, his father-in-law's flocks. And so the last 40 years of his life, he was able to put all those things together, and he led the people of God. He led them, you know, out of Egypt. He led them to the promised land. They refused to go in. And then he had to lead them in circles, so to speak, for 40 years as everybody over 20 years old died. And I'll tell you what, I think it would have been a whole lot easier for Moses to lead them to the promised land and into the promised land than to lead them in circles for 40 years. Can you imagine what a task that was? Just to keep going around and around and around for 40 years waiting for everybody to die. But he was well prepared for what he did. Now, consider Joshua. He had none of that training. He was a slave in Egypt. That's how his life started. They were in Egypt 430 years before they came out. So Joshua was born a slave in Egypt. Now, he was Moses' minister. So I don't know, I don't know if he was with Moses the whole 40 years or, you know, how many years he was Moses' minister. And I'm sure that he learned some things from Moses. But he did not have the formal training that Moses had. He did not have the laboratory training, the practical experience that Moses had. And yet God gave him a task that was equal to, or in some ways exceeded, what he asked Moses to do. Now, I tell you all that just to remind you that Joshua, as the leader of God's people, was a man that had to depend on God. He had to look to God. He had to get his wisdom from God. He couldn't look back to a classroom. He couldn't look back to practical experience other than what he'd observed in Moses' life. He had to look to God for his wisdom. He had to look to God for his strength. He had to look to God for everything that he needed to do that God called him to do. Now, you know, sometimes when God calls us to do something, we think, oh, I think you've made a mistake. You must have the wrong person. You can't be calling me to do this because I'm untrained, I'm inexperienced, I'm unqualified. And I would remind you tonight that God knows what he's doing. I would remind you tonight that sometimes the qualified think they can do it on their own, and so they don't depend on God. And so God doesn't call the qualified. He calls the unqualified, the untrained, the inexperienced, because they're the ones that have to depend on him. And I'll remind you what Paul said in the book of Philippians. I can do all things, even the things that I've never done before, even the things that I don't think I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, look at verse 8 in chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Book of law. All they had at that point was the writings of Moses, the Torah, as we know it today. The first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And God says to Joshua, don't let it depart out of your mouth. What he was saying is, read it, study it, memorize it. And then he says to meditate on it day and night. I remember a teacher that I had when I was in junior high, and we were studying this particular verse, and he used the example of meditate. He said, it's like a cow chewing its cud. You know, a cow chews on it a while, then sends it down to its stomach. And I think he told me, if I don't know if this is right or not, cow has seven stomachs, something like that. So he sends it down to one of his stomachs. Then they want to chew on it some more, so they send it back up, chew on it some more. Then they send it back down to another one. Then they send it back up and chew on it some more. You get the idea. And that's what meditating on the Word of God is. You get a Bible verse, you get a passage from the Bible, and you chew on it. You think about it. You think, what's God saying? What's he saying? How does it apply to my life? How does it apply to my circumstances? How does it apply to my situation? So you chew on it. You think about it for a while. And then you put it in the back of your mind. And then you bring it to the forefront again. I'm going to think about that verse some more. I'm going to think about that passage some more. What is God saying to me? He must be saying something to me. He wouldn't bring it to my mind if he wasn't saying something to me. So what's he trying to say? Why, again, how does this apply to my life? And in this verse, it says, therein, day and night. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. Every day, every night. And I know some of you are saying, well, how can I do that? I mean, how can I think about and chew on the Word of God day and night every day? Let me ask you a question. How often do you eat? I would submit that most of us eat every day. I would submit that most of us every day probably have something for breakfast, something for lunch, something for dinner, and then a midnight snack or a bedtime snack. And again, you may not eat all four of those meals. You may eat more, you may eat less, but you know, for you to have life and to be healthy, you need to fuel your body. And so every day, and again, you may not eat four or five times a day, although they tell you it's better to eat six times a day. I tried that for a while, and then somebody told me, he said, no, you're doing it wrong. You're supposed to eat little meals. Nobody told me that. I was eating normal size meals. But they say supposedly it's better for you to eat six little times a day. But again, you may not do it that often, but you eat every day because you know that in order to remain alive, in order to have your health, you need to fuel your body with that food. Now, I'll remind you in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus quoted that verse in Matthew chapter 4 when he was hungry after he had fasted for a while. And Satan came to him and says, hey, I know you're hungry. You have the power. Why don't you turn these rocks into bread so you'll have something to eat? And Jesus said, no. Because it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So here's how I want you to think about it. Bible study, Bible reading, Bible meditation needs to be like eating. I mean, when we think about eating, we don't think, we don't have the attitude, well, this is something I got to do every day, whether I want to do it or not, I've got to eat. We don't think about it that way. We don't think about it as a drudgery. We don't think about it as a duty. It's something that we do every day. Most of us, we don't even think about it. We just do it every day because we know, and maybe we don't bring again to the forefront of our mind, but we know that if we want to stay healthy, if we want to have life, we have to eat. And I would submit to you tonight, that's the same way we need to think about reading our Bible. Studying our Bible, meditating on our Bible. It's not something I have to do. It's not, I don't have to do it because it's my duty as a Christian. It's something I need to do if I want life and health. And so God says to Joshua, hey, you got this big job ahead of you. I know you're not as qualified as Moses was. You don't have the training and the practical experience. But you stay in the book. You stay in the law. But then he goes on and says, it's not enough to just read it. It's not enough to memorize. It's not enough to meditate on it. We do all that. We read it. We study it. We memorize it. We meditate on it so that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein. It's obedience to the Word of God that's important. It's doing what it says that's important. It's being guided by its principles that's important. You know, we come to situations in our life, and there are many situations in our life where there is not a direct Bible verse that deals with that situation. But if we're meditating on the Word of God, the Bible principles will come out that will help us deal with that situation. In fact, sometimes the Holy Spirit guides us by bringing back to our mind a scripture that we've read, memorized, studied, or meditated on, and he will guide us as what we ought to do by bringing back that scripture. And so the more scriptures you got in your computer up here, the more Holy Spirit will have to work with to guide you. In verse 7, you know, we talked about this last week. It says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. He said, you know, get the Word of God and stick with it. Don't turn to the right, turn to the left. The Bible is not a smorgasbord. We can't pick and choose what we want and leave what we don't want. It's the whole counsel of God. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's not doing what we like and ignoring what we don't like. It's doing it all. And so obedience is what God is saying. Obedience to the Word of God, he says, has some promises associated with it. He says, if you'll do that, if you'll let it not depart from your mouth, and if you'll meditate on it, in other words, live your life by it, live your life by the Bible, notice what it says. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. God doesn't say, if you do all this, I'll make your word prosperous. He says, if you do this, thou shalt make your way prosperous. And thou shall have good success. Again, he doesn't say, hey, if you read your Bible and meditate on it, I'll make your way prosperous and I'll make sure you have good success. He says, you'll do it. What he's saying is, I put in this book, and we have all of it now. We just don't have the first five books. We have all 66 of them. He says, I put in this book the principles that you need to live your life by, and if you're obedient to it, you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll make the fact that you'll have good success. A promise from him. Now, if you want an example, look at Joshua. I mean, this is the man to whom the instructions were given. What kind of leader was here? He. What kind of experience did he have in applying what God told him to do? And how did his life come out? How does his leadership come out? As I read the life of Joshua, I read the life of Moses, and I can see two or three times where Moses didn't do exactly what God told him to do. I'll read the book of Joshua. I only find one slip up. It's where Gibeonites came, and they said, "Hey, it's when the people of Israel were getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, and they came to him and said, "Hey, we're from far away. We're from far away." And they put on old clothes and old shoes, and they brought moldy bread, and they had old wine bottles that were, musty and tore. And they said, "You can make a treaty with us because we don't live anywhere near here. We live a long way away. Look at what's happened to our clothes and our shoes as we made the journey." And the Bible says that the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord, and they made a treaty with this people. Now again, I don't know how much Joshua had to do with it. I'm sure as a leader he had something to do with it. And if I was going to look for slip-ups in Joshua's life, I might point to this one and say, maybe he didn't live by the word of God. Maybe he ignored the principles from the Bible when he made this treaty. But that's the only one I can find. The rest of his life, as you read through the book of Joshua, he was living his life according to the law that he had. He was living his life according to how God wanted him to live it. And so I say to us tonight, let's get back to the Bible. Let's make it a part of our daily diet. Let's meditate on it and memorize it and study it. Then thou, us, shall be prosperous. And then thou, us, shall have good success. Now look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God's reminding Joshua, look, you didn't volunteer for this. I called you. I called you to be the leader of this people. You're the guy I want. You're not here by accident. You're not here by coincidence. I commanded thee. So he says, be strong and of good courage. You're going to lead 2.5 million people. You're going to lead them into the promised land and defeat a people that are stronger and mightier than you. And then you're going to have to divide the land. I know it's an overwhelming task. I know it's a frightening task. But he says, be strong and of good courage. Sometimes God puts us into situations and we're frightened. We're overwhelmed. And he reminds us, hey, I called you into this. Don't you think I'll take care of you? Don't you think I'll give you what you need? In fact, he says, be not afraid, nor be dismayed. That word dismayed means to dread or to have apprehension or to be discouraged or disheartened. God says, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'll be with you wherever you go. Double promise with a double guarantee. He says, you study the Bible and live by the Bible, and thou shalt have, thou shalt be prosperous, thou shalt have good success. In addition to that, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you all the time. I'll be with you wherever you go. Look at verses 10 and 11. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. The officers were people that were underneath Joshua that helped him lead. And I'll remind you tonight, when God asks you to do something, he always provides helpers. He always provides people that will be there to assist us in doing what God has called us to do. He says, in 3 days, we're going to pass over Jordan. Now, they've been camped at this spot for a long time. So it's just like they couldn't pack up and leave. They had to pack up because after you've lived a place a certain while, you collect things. And so they had to pack up and get ready to go. And again, I'm sure some of the Israelites might say, hey, you know, Joshua, this is a pretty comfortable spot. We're sort of accustomed to being here. Why don't we just stay? And Joshua said, oh, no, this may be a good spot, but we're going to possess the land that the Lord has prepared for us, the land that the Lord has given us. Let me remind you tonight, God never asks you to move. He never asks you to move from a location standpoint. He never asks you to move from a ministry standpoint unless he's got something better waiting for you when you get there. Huh? Never ask you to move unless he's got something better waiting when you get there. Think about old Abraham. I'm sure it would have been easy for Abraham to say in the Ur of the Chaldees, but Lord, this is my home. All my relatives are here. I'm established. I mean, I'm comfortable in this place. And God says, oh no, I got something better for you. I got a land that I've prepared for you that's going to be yours. And he never asks us to move without having something better for us. Now, verses 12 through 15. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. You remember when the nation of Israel conquered the land of Sidon and Og, and land east of the Jordan River, land toward the sun rising. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh saw that the land, the Bible says, was good for cattle. And they had a lot of cattle. And so they came to Moses and said, hey, Moses, do you think it'd be okay for us to take our possession on this side of Jordan? It's a good land, and it's good for cattle, and we have a lot of cattle. We just like to stay here. And Moses said, okay, I'll let you stay here. I'll give you this land on one condition. When we get ready to go into the promised land, you can leave your families behind. You can leave your wives and your children behind. But the men in the army will go with the people into the promised land until they secure their land. And the leaders of these tribes agreed. And so Joshua was reminding them of this agreement. And I want you to notice just one phrase. He says, God's given you rest. He's given you your home, your land. He's given you your rest. Now you need to help others find theirs. Two applications. When we get saved, we come into the rest in Christ. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible, Jesus talking, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we got saved, we got that rest. Because we have that rest, it's now our responsibility to help somebody else find it. To help somebody else find it. And then I think there's a second application. We are blessed of God. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good thing we have in our life, all the blessings that we have in our life are from God. We need to help others when they have a need. God's given us rest. We need to help others find it. Look at the last three verses. And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." Here's what the people said. "Joshua, we'll do what you say. Whatever you tell us to do, we'll do. Wherever you tell us to go, we will go. We will listen to you like we listened to Moses." But then they said this, "Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses." They said, "We'll follow your leadership as long as you're following God. We'll do what you say, and we'll go where you send, but only if you have that same kind of relationship, that relationship of obedience, that relationship of fellowship of God." I remind you tonight, as I close, every single one of us are a leader to somebody. We're a leader to our spouse. We're a leader to our children. We're a leader to our grandchildren. We're a leader to other people that God has put in our life. We can only lead them and expect their fellowship as we follow Jesus. As we follow Jesus. As God told Joshua, as we live by this book. We can't expect their fellowship if we're not following Christ. I mean, that's a prerequisite for our leadership, is following him. Don't ask anybody to follow you if you're not following him. Why would they? Why? I mean, if you love them at all, and the people I mentioned are people you ought to love, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, if you're not following Christ, why would you want them to follow you? If you've made up your mind, say, "Well, I'm not going to follow Christ," then point them to somebody that is so that they can follow him. Better yet, why don't you follow Christ and be the leader that you need for them? Glad you were here tonight. Wonderful, wonderful truths all throughout the Bible. You know, we look at the book of Joshua, that's just a history book. What are we going to learn from that? We're going to learn a lot. Glad you were here tonight. Let's stand, have a word of prayer, be dismissed.